Welcome everyone to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Reverend Van Beek.
Oh, we're not worthy of the doctor this week?
Well, I thought I might expound and do some life lessons, but probably not. Maybe I should stay with
God. I could be pastoral, but I really don't feel like it. Yeah, whatever. Figure it out on your own, people.
Yeah, there's a couple of bits in here that'll make you feel guilty. So
nice, folks. If you don't know, we're talking about Galatians 5. I almost called it Revelation 5 yet again. Almost again, 2 weeks in a row. Look at me go. Yeah, but what do we want to say about Galatians 5 before we start, buddy?
Well, you know, he's probably going to talk something about don't go back to this.
Huh. It seems like a reoccurring theme. Is that what you're saying?
This might be the fifth way he's approached it. Yes.
Yes.
But that's exactly what it's going to be. He says, now that you're free, you cannot go back. And it's getting stronger, too. Oh, he says some pretty harsh things in this one.
Yeah.
We'll get to in a minute, but it's getting stronger about not going back to the law.
Okay.
He's almost saying you're going to be alienated from Christ if you go back.
Okay.
I don't know if you would say that's losing your salvation for those that don't believe you can. But it's a very strong alienation that's going to come if you don't keep pressing ahead in the freedom that you have. And then he'll talk about the limitations to that freedom as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, for those that think freedom means freedom, he'll let you know it doesn't.
He'll give a slight bit of nuance around that word.
Yes.
All right, folks, for those of you playing the at-home edition, we're going to start in Galatians 5 at verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
Right, so that's don't go back.
Yeah.
You know, stand firm. You're free. Why would you go back to slavery when you're free?
You fools. Morons,
you I said. You foolish people.
Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Yeah, so obviously he's definitely talking to Gentiles here who have not been circumcised. And the Jewish people are saying, well, you gotta. And they're saying, well, we're a little bit older now, so I'm thinking no.
Hard pass, thank you.
hard pass. But Paul's saying, why would you do that? He says, if you're going to go back to the law, then you're alienating yourself from Christ and the grace that he has brought you.
Right.
Like, why would you do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. So he's saying that was a thing that Moses did. That was a thing for the time of the law. We're beyond that now.
Yeah.
This is a hard thing for these guys to accept.
Yeah. Again, like you said, it's another thing that's striking at things that they thought about were requirements for years. All of a sudden, it's like, nope, don't need it.
And it was completely right that they did it. I saw a comedian, he was talking about, he was trying to explain Jews and Christians. And he said, it's sort of like a guy has a business, you know, and you've been working for the Father in this business all of these years. And all of a sudden, the son comes along and said, I'm actually taking over the business now. And all the new employees are thinking, well, this will be great. And he goes and fixes the printer. And so they really like him and they want to stay with him. But the older guys, they like the business the way it was.
Not bad. I like that analogy.
It was good. And he was better than that. So if you ever see him, I don't know who he is. So you'll have trouble finding him, but it was good.
Pretty good. That was pretty good. Verse 7 now. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. And Paul takes a left turn there. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who has thrown you into confusion, whoever it may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would just go away and emasculate themselves.
Yeah, this is where Paul gets a little harsh for our audience. at least for the guy leading this thing here.
The NIV kind of cleans this up, doesn't it? Huh? Did you tell me once that the NIV kind of cleaned up the Greek here to make it a little more palatable?
It is a little nicer. The way to say emasculate is a little nicer than than to stay. Anyway, so basically he says, why are you going back? And then he says, these people that are leading you this way, they're in trouble for doing this. Mm-hmm. Like they should not be doing this kind of stuff. The idea of yeast working through the batch of dough, that happens several times in scriptures in different ways.
Yeah,
it can be good or bad, by the way.
Right.
It's just that yeast kind of permeates slowly. They talk about the kingdom of heaven moving that way too.
Right.
So some people say, well, yeast is bad, but it's just an example, a metaphor. Is it a metaphor?
Sure.
I guess it's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor, yes. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Then he says to these guys, he says, look, if you're preaching circumcision, if this is so important, then the cross means nothing. And if this is so important to these guys, they should emasculate themselves, and basically castrate themselves.
Yeah.
Or cut it off, really, is what he said.
Yeah,
they should just cut it off.
Paul was not being kind here.
he lacked couth, I would say. So I get the impression he's writing this. He's angry. I get the impression he's angry when he's writing this.
Fantastic.
Oh, Paul. Yeah, I was thinking something similar for those swimmers in that have been on the news lately. So that's what he says. He says, look, you don't go back, man. Don't go back.
Yeah.
Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to who you were.
Yeah. And then he flips it right here, right? Verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other.
And that's where he limits the freedom. That's where Paul says, you are free to do anything you want, but use this freedom to serve each other.
Mm.
Don't use your freedom in Christ just to act any way you want. Yeah. And that's nice. That's better than, we can do I can do anything I want. Those are the two sides of it he has to fight, right? Mm-hmm. The law on the one side,
mm-hmm.
and license on the other.
Mm.
You don't have license to do anything you want. You have license to keep moving ahead in Christ and loving each other.
Yeah. That's beautifully said. Verse 16.
Unless he was just backpedaling off that last thing.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry about the emasculating part. Now let's talk about... I'm sorry. Hang on. I got something else for you. You'll like this. verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, and so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Yeah, again, he says, look, you're living in the Spirit. This is not so you do whatever you want. Mm. And he says the Spirit fights against the flesh against the Spirit. And we've heard this many times about the two dogs fighting.
Yeah.
Remember, there are two dogs inside me, and they're fighting. Well, which one wins that fight? The one that I feed. So he says, feed the Spirit.
Oh,
feed the Spirit and it will win.
Look at you with the metaphors tonight. Look at you.
There you are. Yeah.
Dr. Metaphor is what we call it.
Pretty well known one. Yeah.
No, it's a very, very apt example.
Yeah. Rush does a song about the two dogs fighting.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, Geddy Lee. And if you haven't listened to a lot of Rush, go listen. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. Fits of rage. I don't even know why that's in there. It must be a mistake.
I don't know why they put it in
there. No, that's wrong. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, so he just throws out a whole list of bad things. And we know these things are bad. Sexual immorality, that's porneia in Greek. Mm-hmm. And, I forgot impurity, because impurity is a little different than sexual immorality. And it can go a little bit more. It can also be, wanting things for yourself, it can go that way, or it can go just bad or evil thoughts. And I was trying to think, catharsis. It's the word we have catharsis, which is to cleanse yourself. Mm-hmm. This is acatharsis. This is to do the opposite of cleansing yourself.
Okay. Interesting. Well, yeah.
And witchcraft. It's an interesting one because, we don't think about witchcraft too much these days. But in scripture, they say, this is not something you should be doing.
Right.
And it's intriguing because we've either let witchcraft go or we've kind of made it okay in our society. Mm-hmm. And the witches in Salem and stuff, of course, that was a crazy time anyway.
Right.
But where just normal people were accused of witchcraft. But he was saying, this is stuff that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. Can't you imagine people go, they're reading this letter from Paul and they're going down the list. Oh, yeah, I don't do that. Oh, hang on a second. You got the hatred. Oh, no. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Discord.
Some of them are some of them are kind of a drag. Fits of rage. I mean, that's got to be allowed, right? Remember, Paul did say, be angry yet sin not. So he says, you're going to get angry.
Yeah.
But keep yourself under control.
Yeah, yeah. But don't you think you just come to this thing, oh, I got this, then, Paul listens and be like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm not even close to having it.
Yeah.
And the drunken orgies, of course.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, we better stay away from those.
Okay, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Finish reading.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Yeah. Let's. This is kind of tough one in the workplace that we're in.
But Paul clearly never had to work in a higher ed institution.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. although he was a Pharisee, so he had schooling.
That's true.
Yeah. Love, joy, peace. We kind of get those, right? Those are the normal ones. I like forbearance. Forbearance is putting up with other people's faults. That's to forbear. It also means to stop doing what you're doing. They have this story of the Colosseums, where they brought this guy in and they brought him to the Colosseum. He was a Christian, and when he started seeing the people fighting each other, he ran out and started yelling, "Forbear, forbear!" Mm. And they killed him. And the story goes, and it's just a story, that was the day that the gladiator fighting stopped in the Colosseums. Because when they killed him, all of a sudden everybody realized just how unbelievably stupid this was.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And kind of an interesting little story. Kindness is a good one, and goodness and faithfulness. Gentleness, to be gentle. And have control of yourself. Mm. It doesn't mean that you're not a formidable opponent.
Right.
It means that you have control over these things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm just a little conscious of that these days because I've been hearing Jordan Peterson talking about, you know, that warrior in a garden thing. Better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war.
Mm.
It's not really true, because if you need a garden and you got some stupid warrior in there, you're not growing anything. So I think it's an unfair yeah. analogy.
What are you doing here? Get out of here.
Yeah. But he said we should be dangerous. And someone said, well, that's ridiculous. You don't want people to be dangerous. He says, well, I'm not saying you should use that. You should just be capable. Yes. Because if you're just a wuss, if you have no power at all, then you're nothing.
Yeah. Wise as serpents, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves.
Yeah. Yeah, that balance.
Doves are also stupid in the Bible, by the way. Sometimes they're peace, sometimes they're love, and sometimes they're stupid.
I like what you were saying there. I mean, I appreciate the fact that we need to have that self-control. But that doesn't mean, it's kind of interesting trying to mix all that together with us calling to suffer too at the same time. So it's a very interesting line to try to walk through that whole thing.
But see, if you're walking down the street and someone is going to attack your family, you should be able to defend yourself.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, or at least be willing to the point that you're able.
Yeah.
You know, so, but as Christians, love, joy, peace, yeah. forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
My friend, thank you for this. What an interesting piece of scripture, right? Paul's just like, I've had enough of this. Like, how plain can I make this to you? They're stealing Christ from you. And why would you do this? Are you dumb?
Yeah. Yeah. And you are free in Christ.
Yeah.
You are free in Christ.
Yeah.
So use that to look after each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And then here's all these things that you need to do to practice that freedom in Christ, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Folks, as always, we're so thankful that you join us each week. Larry and I love doing this. We would do it for an audience of one, two, maybe three. But fortunately, there's more of you that listen to this than just three. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Tracy. We're happy to have you along. But like I said, we're thankful for your listening and for those clicks that we see along in the week and how many people listen to the podcast. We'll be back again. Probably not for a couple weeks, right? We'll kind of
see. No, we're going to do it next week.
Oh, we're going to do it next week?
Yeah, let's finish. We'll finish Galatians next week, and then we'll take our time, and then we'll come back and maybe do Judges.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, there's a little break coming because Larry's going to travel for a little bit, and that's great. We want him to. And then we'll take a little break around that maybe, and then we'll come back and do Judges. We'll judge the Judges.
Yes.
Yes.
the Judges are lots of fun.
Oh, they are. They're good times had by many. all right. But until then, until next week when we're all together, I've been Steve, he's been Larry, and this was the Apocalypse Podcast.